Oh, do you know Balky?
It's Balky, like Larry's cousin.
Yeah, they're in Chicago.
That's right. Is Perfect Strangers on Netflix? It should be on
No.
Netflix.
And only the first two seasons are on DVD.
Well, that's okay because the later seasons just were stupid.
Well, the last season was kind of bad, but the middle seasons where they got the job at the newspaper, that's when the show sort of hit its stride.
And how many were
But
there overall? I think
six?
six.
Now, bear in mind, for the last, like, two seasons, it was a Saturday night alternate when
Yeah.
whatever sports they had on contract then didn't quite fill the time slot.
So
So,
it was
like,
on again.
the last two seasons were like 8 episodes each.
And from what I recall, the show actually was still doing really well in the ratings, but it sort of got muscled out because they wanted to bring in new shows.
Although where they took the show, I couldn't have really seen it going forward and still being itself.
Yeah.
Mind you, this is the memory of being 9 years old and watching it.
Nowadays, though, they would just run that into the ground.
Although the last season did have the episode where Balky and Larry took that crazy route and got all high like they're on cocaine. And they decided to see if their knees could bend both ways by jumping on them.
What?
Did that really happen? I don't remember that.
Yeah, Larry put his leg up on a footstool and Balky said, "Let's see if our knees can bend both ways," and he like starts to jump up on top of it.
Well, that sounds like very dangerous behavior. Oh, I think I missed that one as a child.
I probably did too.
See, there were still some moments in the last season.
What I remember from, I don't know if it was the last season or next to last, but when they did the episode where they were imagining being their own babies.
Don't remember that.
I think I actually vaguely do.
Was there
It's
an
really.
episode with a flooded basement?
Didn't every sitcom in the early
Yeah.
90s have an episode with a flood basement?
Yeah, that's why I'm asking. Did they do it too?
Just answer your own question?
Well, there was the episode where their bathroom blew the fuck up in the apartment, and the water was spraying everywhere.
I kind of remember that.
And there was an
Also
episode where
a
they were
90s
camping,
staple, I believe.
Yeah.
and they fell in the quicksand.
Where were they camping where there was quicksand?
And the forests around Chicago. Look, didn't you play Watch Dogs? It's all there.
The forests
Have
around
not actually.
Chicago are kind of nice, but also a little small. Yep, Paladin, weren't you
That's
just in
true.
Chicago like 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Didn't you go to the forest with the quicksand?
That was not on the recommended tour.
Well, obviously not, otherwise he wouldn't be here.
Well, we don't know. Maybe he brought the quicksand back with him.
What, like in a
He
bucket?
he's just like sitting in this vat of quicksand now.
They had to box up the quicksand and ship
Yeah,
it off with
because
him.
they couldn't separate him from the quicksand, so they just had to, take up some of the quicksand around him. Paladin's absorbent, or
Quicksand.
oh,
Absorbent like toilet paper.
There we go.
A little
I mean, it
box.
would need to be at that point.
The best toilet paper is Angel Soft. Because it's got the picture of the baby on it, so the toilet paper is just as soft as wiping your ass on a baby.
This is what I've come back to. Oh.
Welcome to superhero time.
Find out a wave! This is superhero time. With XV.
It's never all right. It's superhero time.
Hey, Mickey.
It's funny because it's sad.
Paladin.
It's funny because they're tiny.
Ken. And Fort Max.
Never give up.
With special guest.
Ken, why are you disappointing us?
Okay, so it's superhero time. I've been put on new medication and I'm feeling good, so let's do the show again so I can feel terrible. Wait, this is a bad plan.
I've got plenty of my medication. You can have some of it.
Oh, thank you.
I'm not party to this.
So anyway, we've got Paladin, Mickey, Ken, and Fort Max as usual, and we're joined again by Christina, who we're really excited to have back.
I have returned from the depths of I don't know where. It's not hell, because let's face it, hell
that's where
is
you
not,
are now.
Hell would be way too convenient, because that would mean that I wouldn't have to watch Tokyuger.
Ooh. Interesting point.
Exactly.
You know, I find Tokyuger is a lot easier to take if you watch it without subs.
Maybe.
Then you can just laugh at all the goofy stuff going on and not try to figure out what's actually happening. But that's the whole point.
That's the point.
You look at all the goofy stuff.
You don't know what they're saying, because everything they say is just so ridiculous.
Well, let's see. Everything Wright says is about he can imagine whatever's going on.
Food.
This is what Tokyuger has resorted to. Wright is about food. Takati just says anything.
And he gets beat up for it.
I know, which is weird, because I actually like him.
Doki 3 is just nagging all the time.
Yeah, she's just nags all the time.
He's the nagging leader.
The green one doesn't.
Donatello does machines.
Exactly.
That's right.
Green doesn't do anything, and Kagura's just
there.
I'm gonna go with that.
I like them still, and I especially like the villains' plots, though.
And Tokyo 6 is just always talking about how this is a perfect place for him to die, so...
Tokyo 6 is basically the general reaction we have. He doesn't want to be here, that's why he doesn't want to hang out with them. So, sixth ranger, really.
I want to hang out with 6, but not the others. Because he's orange.
Exactly. Everyone wants to hang out with 6. I think 6 is just upset because his own show has to be shared by these people.
You don't hang out with 6, you hang out next to 6. He's not occupying the same world as you.
Well, let me put it like this. I still like it as opposed to Gyoryuger. So.
Yes. Well, my problem is I don't feel like I'm getting enough 6 on General.
I don't think Gyoryuger was fucking terrible. Well, crap, sorry.
I don't know. I enjoyed Kuryuger. I enjoyed Kuryuger because Toshiyuki Murakawa was in it. I'm like, hey, I can't say no to that. I'll watch it anyway.
Then again, my tolerance may be different because remember, I watched all of Gosager.
I'm surprised it didn't destroy your tolerance.
I watched Gosager too. Here's the thing. I understand Gosei Knight's predicament because he has to hang out with idiots, and I know 6 is going through the same thing. So I think those two in the end are going to hang out together and talk about their problems about why are they not paired. Why are they not paired with better teams?
That's probably how you feel right about now.
He got Stockholm syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
And then he died, and then he kind of got better.
And no one yet in Tokyuger has. Well, there hasn't been an attempted running over using Bill Dio yet, so.
I kind of regret that, honestly. You got trains. Try to run people down with them. It'd be great.
Yeah, they figured out that back in Magi Ranger, for God's sake.
No, mm-hmm. But remember the Tokyuger appearance at the end of whatever the hell movie that was? I don't even remember now.
That doesn't narrow it down very much.
Kyoryuger versus GoBusters, featuring the Super Sentai.
Oh, yeah, where they ran over Messiah.
Yeah.
That was sad. I felt bad for That was the first time I ever felt bad for Messiah.
I'm just saying they should use that tactic more often.
They should have.
Yeah. Like run someone over and not even realize.
They should team up with the Go-Wanders and use the Con-Con gun. So they can shoot trains at people.
Okay, imagine this. So when they get the upgrade mecha in, like, a month from now or whenever, you know, that with all the trains on it and Engino G12.
Oh, yes. God.
It would be perfect.
Kind of amazing.
I'm picturing a poor suit actor with a broken back.
Would they even
it's
bother
okay.
with
He'll be better.
Would they even bother with a suit at that point? Wouldn't they just, like, do models?
They'd cram it full of dead suit actors.
Ah.
Just for support.
Yeah.
But will it have a kick where its leg is obviously being lifted up by a wire?
Right. The more obvious, the better, yes.
And then it gets set on fire by the effects.
Cool. Man, we have just written the best finale to the Tokyuger Go On Your Crossover movie.
That will never happen.
Shut up.
No,
imagine
it
Sosuke
won't.
And Wright teaming up and deciding to do something together.
Oh my god.
Deciding to do
unstoppable.
Deciding to do anything together. Like that time Sosuke tried to use the trampoline to get to the hole in the sky.
Yeah.
That would totally work now. Sosuke's the best.
Except when Gunpei's the best.
Well, yeah, because
we need more Gunpei, damn it.
Or when Honto's the best, or really everyone. Everyone's the best in that.
Everyone is the best, really.
Everyone in Gounger is the best, even when they're not the best. They're just the best at not being the best in that moment. What? So anyway, Morphicon happened.
Oh, did it?
That's where you're starting?
Well, yeah, because they changed the color of the Triceratops arm on the toy back to pink.
Oh, did they?
Sure they did. Wink, wink.
Well, they repainted the prototype they had anyway.
This'll shut these nerds up. Just go to the purple production run. We can say it's an accident later on.
I think it's because that they got it like somewhere in like the headquarters. They go like the editors were actually frame by frame painting Dracara purple for in the show, and they got too lazy. Goes like, hey, it's like, hey, Haim, yeah, this is getting a little expensive. Cut it all.
And then at some point, somebody realized, oh wait, there's a purple ranger later on.
Probably.
Oh, oops. No. Whatever that thing's name is. No, I'm quoting. I'm being Heimsup on right now. Whatever that Pluve, whatever it is. Yeah, it's mostly silver. We can actually make it silver. Sir, we have a silver ranger. What is going on, Toei? Give me your offer.
Oh, wait.
Make it orange.
Orange. That's next year, sir.
Screw it! Make them all red! That's all kids like anyway.
Did you just have a red? Why not? That?
Okay,
Okay,
fine.
I'm just now picturing Haim Saban just like biting into a baseball mask glove pillow.
That one didn't leave my head.
Christina, are you saying that D3 is Saban?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
So, Paladin, if not Morphicon, where do you want to start the news?
Well, since you're already on Morphicon, we could talk about the Dino Charge Rangers.
Okay. Good-looking cast.
Oh, yeah, the new kids.
Good-looking cast.
Yeah.
Luke's actor seems to be a cool guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got approval from Nosan, so that could be interesting.
But his hair's not curly.
That doesn't matter, really. No, I'm pretty sure that's what Nosan's hair length would be like if they just if they gave him a straightener.
No, that's what his hair length would be like if he was that young.
Well, yeah, that's true. So, I like the cast. They're nice.
We don't know anything else about them yet.
It's a little
we don't
bit
know
more,
what they sound like.
It's a little bit more diverse than has been.
I still cannot figure out what ethnicity the Red Ranger is. Not that it matters, of course, but...
Of course.
I think he might be...
He's Hispanic.
Is he?
I think.
All
the pictures I've seen have been kind of shitty, but...
Hey, since Kuriyuja was referencing Samba, they have to at least cast someone from Brazil. At least.
There is no guarantee there's going to be any Samba at all in the American show, and you know.
I don't care. Just Kyer one.
Yeah, because America will just make that even more ridiculous.
Yes.
And let's see.
It'll be dubstep.
The next Blu-ray's boxes after Kamen Rider Black is announced, and it's Kabuto.
So, okay, Fort Max, you're the expert here. Do you think it will be upscales?
Oh, God.
No.
That's because Kabuto was actually filmed in HD and edited and broadcast in HD, so there's no excuse for it to not be released in actual HD, right?
That should look pretty good. Ideally.
It should.
It should. It will look about like Double's Blu-rays.
Yeah.
So the last 10 episodes,
or Shinkenger's Blu-rays.
To watch?
No, no, it won't. Now the important question with this
Kabuto, so it will look good, but it won't make a damn bit of sense.
Right.
But
well,
in
the last
10
episodes. No, the important question with this now, will someone finally resub it? No, they won't.
Yeah.
Although I heard somebody's starting on Ryuki now.
There'll be someone out there who goes, hey, no, there will be someone who subs it, but not in English. That's my best bet.
Oh.
There might be a new Portuguese subbing company or someone in Malaysia.
So if we just knew someone that spoke Portuguese, we could get subs from those.
Interesting.
But if you translate,
just use subtitles.
Yeah, if you translate from another language, we translate it from another language.
We already have Kabuto in perfect English.
Oh, God.
Sure we do.
You know, you make a good point.
Yeah.
I don't know if
we have the English dub on the Blu-rays.
That would be great.
That would be kind of a hilarious bonus.
They'll never do that, but that would be great.
They didn't include the Fize dub.
There's a Fize dub?
There's a dub of a lot of Rider series. There's a Decade dub.
Isn't Blade a dub, technically?
Well, up to a point, most tokus were technically dubs. Just, you know, same language with the same people.
Now, hey, speaking of Blu-rays and releases and subs and all that, I'm not sure. Was it before or after the last show y'all did that they announced that they're actually releasing Zyuranger here?
I think that was after.
It was before.
Was it?
Y'all discuss it?
Design. It was Comic-Con that it was announced.
I have the 26th of July, so.
When was the last show we did?
It was too long ago. That's why I had to drag you guys back in, because it was way too long. And Guy was almost over, so yeah.
We almost made it out.
But whatever the case, I hope they can get extras like the Dino video.
I doubt it'll be any extras at all. But regardless.
It's kind of a big deal.
I have really no desire to watch Zyuranger. I will still buy it just that way.
Yeah.
If this crashes, they'll never do anything like this again.
Exactly. So buy it, please.
Zyuranger.
And I'll go on record as saying that Shout Factory is the best. Mm-hmm. All these shows that are great that no one gives a shit about, Shout Factory is always the one that brings them.
Well, that or Discotech.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, who would bring out Beetleborgs besides Shout Factory, or VR Troopers besides Shout Factory?
Or Parker Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
I was hoping VR Troopers
or Headmasters
could stay buried. I was hoping that VR Troopers could stay buried in the 90s, and so none of us could ever forget, could ever remember it.
No, suddenly, the point is you can't ever forget it.
That you're thinking of Masked Rider.
If we forget the mistakes of our past, we are doomed to repeat them.
But Shout Factory did confirm at San Diego that they do not have the rights to Masked Rider or Mystic Knights of Tirnanog.
Thank you.
Which we assumed anyway, because otherwise there would be some sign of it somewhere.
But it still kind of sucks.
It's a shame about Mystic Knights anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably because of the co-production thing with Mystic Knights.
Yeah,
probably.
I assume that with Saban's Masked Rider, it has to do with the
with Toei
TONJ footage.
Or Toei saying, you are never allowed to touch this again.
It wasn't an issue for the Power Rangers episodes with that stuff.
Masked Rider is now lying in a crate next to the Ark of the Covenant. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe even someone at Saban realizes that nobody's going to want this.
Possibly.
Although, you know, they once said that Sailor Moon would never come back to America after they saw what we did to it,
and Toei revoked all of the rights to it, basically.
Mm-hmm. Although, 15 years later, here it is again.
I haven't watched it yet, but the new dub is actually starting to come out on Hulu now.
I have watched some of the new dub,
Wasn't the dub of Essence Super S done by a Toei sub-company?
Was.
Cloverway.
Yes. Yeah.
Cloverway did that, and now it's done by, Funimation still holds the dubbing rights, and Viz holds the distribution rights, so it's kind of a mixed bag.
Well, it is Viz doing the dubbing.
No, but Funimation, they're borrowing the Funimation studios, or at least their actors.
Funimation is the studio doing the dub.
Under Viz license.
Viz is doing distribution, their main distribution company.
Except
first and foremost, they don't have a studio. They borrow studios from other companies.
Oh, yeah, but this is an LA studio. It's not Funimation's.
Oh, that's
but they still Then they, yeah, then not, they borrow footage. Then
now,
they
are the voices them. Are the voices in the belt they, or the basement?
But they borrow people who worked at Funimation.
No, this
it's in the memory.
Yeah, this is the LA. This is LA studio though. It's but Bang Zoom basically.
You're it's trying to argue voice acting.
Girls, girls, you're both pretty. Can we move on?
Okay.
I have watched some of the new dub, and for the most part, I actually am okay with the casting, except for Michelle Ruff doing Luna, which sounds completely wrong.
I love the fact that
will
Johnny
Yon Bosch be doing the same, doing the one voice his one voice for Artemis?
Yes, because Johnny Yon Bosch, one voice. Which can either sound angry or tired. I like Johnny Yon Bosch as a voice actor, honestly, but yeah. I mean,
I will say he was perfect in that episode of Space Dandy.
I haven't watched any of Space Dandy.
He was playing a character called Johnny.
Well, that seems appropriate, if not a little on the nose.
I want Cam Clark to play Tuxedo Mask.
Yeah!
Oh my god.
You know, I could get behind this.
Now, the question is...
And he should have been, like, full-on Liquid Snake, too.
Yeah. Question is, would Cam Clark start collecting Sailor Moon dolls after that?
Yes.
Yes!
Well, you assume he doesn't already.
I don't know.
Usagi, yeah. We were lovers before you were ever born!
Oh, God.
Wow, that's creepy. Like, when you just take that out of context like that, that's really creepy.
Well, even in context, it's a little creepy considering she's like 14 and he's in college. But,
No, it's fine.
No, didn't they confirm that, didn't they basically now imply that he's just a high school student?
In Crystal, yes, but not in the original.
Not in the original, not in the original dub.
So Crystal doesn't matter.
Not in the original dub, yeah, I know. That was sort of like, huh.
I watched part of this week's episode of the first episode of the sub that was released this week, but I gave up after a few minutes in. The sub started getting 3 seconds off.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Of what
did
now?
TV Nihon do them?
No, not enough Keats Matachis in there.
What were you watching that had the subs 3 seconds off?
Pretty much everything they've ever done. I have problems getting audio and visual sync on it.
No, not TV Nihon. I'm talking about Fort Max.
Oh.
The first of the two episodes that were released today.
Oh. Well, maybe they'll adjust that and fix it.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure they'll get right on that.
Yeah, probably. Oh, well. We were in the middle of news somewhere in there. We should probably talk about Drive.
Yeah, because we've learned a lot about that in the last month or so.
Riku Sanjo.
Yeah, Riku Sanjo.
Kichi Hasegawa again.
Which almost is like Riku Sanjo. On the one hand, double. On the other hand, I haven't liked anything he's done since. So, I mean...
Okay,
what
okay.
What about a bunch of awesome episodes of Fours?
I have some issues with his episodes of Forza when I've gone back and looked at him. He's very inconsistent when it comes to writing certain kinds of characters, namely those that are women. So all these episodes where everybody was wondering, like, what the freaking hell is happening with Yuki, those were all Sanjo's fault.
Good catch, Ken.
The important thing about Drive is that the actor is adorable. It looks like he's made out of sponge sugar and gumdrops.
I do really like the concept of him being a police officer, though. That's an interesting angle for the main writer.
I like that his belt is going to be a character.
Yes!
Yes.
I hope his belt's an asshole.
Oh, that'd be cool, too.
It's like, oh god, it's Momotaro all over again. Only he doesn't have control.
But if it was an asshole, wouldn't it be a fanny pack? Oh, it's good to be back. I really like Drive's suit.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like is that his visor is silver, the same with his face, and that doesn't work for me.
Presumably that will change color, though.
Yes, but in default form, when his eyes aren't glowing and shit, it's just silver, and that does not look good.
Yeah, I can see that.
And you know, it'll only be glowing when he first transforms, like with Axel. So.
And then they'll run out of budget for that.
Run out of budget for the battery packs.
This also seems like built.
Well, also the problem is that the lighted eye suits, they're more blind than usual in them.
Well, they don't need to see. They're wearing helmets.
Yeah, this also seems built to cross over with Tokuger, just because of the way his
or go under.
Yeah,
that'd be better,
but less likely.
Yeah.
I wonder if he can like lay down on his tummy and use the tire to drive around.
Well, he can only drive around, you know, slanted. Kind of.
Yeah,
that's the best part.
It makes parallel parking easier that way.
I gotta say, I really love the look of the drive driver.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean,
it's all right.
It has a seatbelt.
Yeah.
And a grill and a key.
What I appreciate most about it is that they're not trying to cram the collectible gimmick onto the belt like usual.
It's instead on his wrist.
Yeah, which seems more sensible to me.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, look back at the Forza driver.
Ugh. The you busy know? Box slash yeah. soda fountain.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you get, like, overloaded.
Soda fountain?
Yeah, it's like a dish that dispense fountain drinks.
Yeah.
Now the one thing...
It does!
Good job, Mickey. You've ruined Forza for Paladin forever.
Pepsi out of it.
I didn't like Forza that much anyway.
If in the movies that Drive inevitably appears in, Shotaro does not also appear, there will be a vast, vast missed opportunity there.
Well, we already know the movies are going to be interesting, and they've already confirmed one for December with Gaim versus Drive.
Well, yeah, that's Movie Wars. They don't have to confirm that. That's just like, well, that's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's like saying there's also going to be a summer double feature with Sentai.
Take a look at the picture of the cast in this news story.
Why?
The woman on Drive's left, she's about Coda's height, and he's about a head taller than her.
Oh, God!
Which means Drive's probably going to have to stand in a hole for the next movie war.
Oh, poor
Coda. Well, it'd be easier to put platform shoes under Coda, though.
Or just stand him on a box or a cliff.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe, like, put a bunch of helium balloons on his shoulders.
Coda will never be filmed in the same shot as anyone else. That'll always be a cutaway.
Like Bulk in Samurai.
Yes.
Or it will be a transform
like Justin.
Will be a painfully obvious composite shot like in Akiba Ranger Season 2.
Oh, God.
Oh, did you mention who's doing the theme song?
Eternal.
No. Oh, really?
Really?
Huh.
Yeah, that's a thing. I looking at this
Zombie
cast
bon
picture.
Jovi returns.
Looking at the cast picture, I really like the costuming.
I'm sure if the song starts out good, you'll convince us all why we don't like it by the end of the show.
Awesome. I've been wanting to do that again for a long time. Can we get Wingus on for that? No, but I really like the costuming they're showing with the cast here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a writer who wears a suit when he's not wearing his suit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he's a detective.
He's a grown-ass nice. Man.
Yes, it's quite nice.
Yeah, no.
He's a grown-ass man.
Oh. Well, then.
Well. I'm just, like, really concerned about Drive because I'm liking the suit and other elements
yeah,
and
see,
stuff.
That's the point.
You remember what happened with that in Wizard?
Uh-huh.
And remember how with Gaim we thought the belt looked ridiculous and the armor and was weird and...
The armor was ridiculous and fruit, what the hell?
Yeah.
Although, when they said fruit, it was so stupid that I kind of had an inkling that it might be good.
For this, everything actually looks so good on a visual level, I'm kind of concerned. I'm just like,
but on the other hand, Riku Sanjo, so...
And the good news is they also kept Gaim's director, so at least it'll look fine.
Oh, well, and apparently, I have read that they're not going back to the two-episode format. They're going to keep doing the single-episode thing, which
good. There was a rumor at one point that it would be a three-episode, 3-episode story format, and I am very glad they debunked that rapidly.
Because, and fun thing is, Sanjo has done that before, and that was Digimon Cross Wars.
Yeah, blah blah
Netflix
Digimon.
Now, by the way.
Oh God, no! Fusion's on Netflix. That's ugh.
You know, if they announced that the 2015 Rider series is going to be based on office supplies, I pretty much guarantee it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the stapler driver or some shit like that.
Ooh. Staplers are fun to play with.
His upgrade form is the easy button.
No, the stapler would be the weapon. I think.
Yeah, because, you know, it starts out as a stapler, then you flip the thing back and it becomes a sword.
Yeah, see, there you go.
The belt part of the driver would be scotch tape dispenser.
Yeah. Okay, so what would actually be the driver then?
A flash drive?
No.
I know.
Oh, a PDA.
No.
A BlackBerry.
Do people even use those anymore?
No, that's what'd be funny.
Oh, okay. It would be a sequel to Kamen Rider G, and the belt would be a coffee maker.
Yes.
They could even just, like, recolor a Genesis driver and make the light inside brown. You know,
you
I'm kind of
like
getting into
this. Like a coffee bean lock seed?
Yes, why do we not have that?
Why didn't we get an avocado?
Oh, gosh.
I'm kind of getting into this now. We totally need to make Office Rider. And instead of a motorcycle, he just has a chair.
Oh, God. rolling office chair.
Yeah. I'm kind of digging this.
The villains of the series could be printers.
He fights against the malfunctioning equipment.
This is pretty accurate, really.
It's like Guy meets Office Space.
And thus, because of the ridiculous premise, it's going to be dark as hell.
Of course, yeah.
It's going to be people murdered left and right. Not a commentary on what we're about to talk about in a little bit, or anything.
Could it be Kamen Rider meets the IT crowd?
Ooh.
Did Christina ever come back?
She went be right back about 4 minutes ago.
Well, that's about be right back time. I mean,
it takes longer than that to pop out a deuce. Not that's what she's doing, but I'm just saying, you know.
Can we stretch this out a bit more?
Mickey, I think you might need some more fiber.
I think I might need some more alcohol.
Yeah, that's also a bowel lubricant. In more ways than one.
Is it ever?
Oh. Christ.
Okay, so we've pretty much drove Drive off the cliff, so...
It's like pouring out a gallon of ground beef mixed in water.
For a minute, I thought you were talking about the drink you were making.
Oh, no. No, I was talking about poop.
Yes, I realized that eventually. Dedicated to the memory of JD. Okay, so we've pretty much gotten all the mileage we can out of Drive for now, so what's next?
Oh, God.
No.
No, don't start. You'll get piled in ideas.
Ideas? Damn, he's stealing these. I had notes, damn it.
I was going to say, don't you think he's, like, making a book already?
So you're trying to cut him off at the pass.
Well, that's more of a horse pun.
That's
Ken,
it. We're going
hard.
Hiatus again.
Detour him.
I hate you all so much.
Okay, if I can just go ahead and throw the track switch.
I'm gonna start dropping F-bombs every 5 seconds.
We may have a start date for the Garo anime now.
Oh,
we do have a start date for the Garo anime.
Right, it'll begin on October 3rd, right after Makai no Hana finishes.
Yep.
Aha. Uh-huh. Will it be more interesting than Makai no Hana?
I like Makai no Hana.
I cannot guarantee that.
I am behind on it, because I kind of fell behind on everything. But,
I'm going to go ahead and admit that Darkness, the and the whatever, kind of spoiled me for Gain, because I like that a lot for being really different, and then I'm kind of disappointed this went back to just being plain Garo.
So what you're saying is that I was right for calling out the It was being boring early on.
Only because we had something better in the meantime. No. If we had gone from Makai Senki to Makai Nohana, it would have felt fine. We just had the and the in the middle, and it completely changed the idea of what Gaara would be. And
I did get that awesome episode 4 of Makai Nohana, though. That was worth it.
Yeah.
I am interested to see at least what they do with the anime, so...
We also found out the cast, and it turns out the new Garo is voiced by Speedor.
Really?
Really.
Garo number one.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. I can't really imagine.
And they just dated-ass character designs.
I like that, though, honestly.
Well, yeah, I'm not exactly complaining. I'm just noticing, like, wow, this is some serious late 70s character design.
And I mean, it doesn't really look like your typical design for an anime that'd be coming out right now. So
that's true.
That's in its favor.
Yeah.
Entirely in its favor.
It just has to be, you know, interesting now.
Maybe.
It's written by Kobayashi. So that's one.
No,
that's
Tokyo.
Yeah, and I like Tokyo, so what's your point?
then you'll like this too. That was his point, I guess.
Plus Jam Project, so yeah, there's that.
I also got Romy Park in there. She played Dayu and Shinkenger. Kenichi Joji and Digimon Adventure 02, Edward Elric.
Among other things.
Yes, among many other things. It's got a good voice cast too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got Speedor.
Well, yes. That's all you need to care about, but yes.
But again, I have a hard time imagining Speedor's voice coming out of a Garo.
That's the best part.
I know!
I'd love to see someone pitch that crossover.
Wow. How would that even work?
Oh, God.
Mysterious 12th brain world.
Yeah, I guess.
Makai world.
Go on, just walk in like, holy God, let's go back out this door.
It's billed as a crossover, but it's just a Garo episode, and then, like, the Go-Ons are in it for 30 seconds at the end after the story's over with.
Yeah, after all the death and the murder and the, you know, dismemberment and all that fun stuff.
They just walk by in the background. You see Genjiro drive down the street, and that's it.
They're running away quickly.
As well they should.
Yes.
Although it might be able to cross over the RPM.
I guess. Probably more easily than Go On.
It's all apocalyptic and it's kind of half dark already.
Yeah.
When it's not being Ziggy being a goofball. It's, you know, the rest of the world's been killed in an atomic holocaust.
The art director is the same from the original Full Metal Alchemist, so...
Okay.
Oh, the good one.
Wait. No.
Director, not writer.
Any other pertinent news?
Not unless you want to get into merchandise, which we could if we have to stretch this out some more.
Hibiki's out, then it looks sexy as shit, and I want it.
I have no money, so I can't get it.
Yes, me too. I'll look at pictures of it and weep openly.
And instead of Tokyuger, the next Super Sentai figure art is Vol Eagle.
What the hell? How did that happen? Didn't we?
I have no freaking clue.
Like, wasn't there just something about how the Super Sentai figure arts were basically coming out because of Akiba Ranger, because there's no Akiba Ranger, there probably weren't going to be more Super Sentai figure arts, and then all of a sudden, oh, it's Vol Eagle. Okay.
I just hope they get a Vol Panther figure so we can take lots of hilarious photos with them.
Considering,
and there's also Zeo, so yeah, there's that.
Considering Eagle has not sold out yet, I don't think there's going to be any subsequent Sun Vulcan figure arts.
I don't think there's going to be any Tokyuger figure arts at all.
Oh well, no big loss.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't finish the Kyuriger ones, and they didn't finish the Go Buster ones.
But, you know, the Tokyugers don't really have great costumes. A toy of them isn't a terribly exciting prospect.
And you can't exactly do the line change gimmick in Figo Arts.
Which would make it perfect to just do a Figo Art in orange.
You could do an SIC, I bet.
I bet they wish they could do the line change gimmick, because they're just probably like, yeah, that would be a lot of money we could make, but they won't buy it.
They could do the line change gimmick, really. All they need to do is make little pop-out parts with the numbers.
And the heads.
Yeah, that would be part of the pop-out parts. A pop-out thing from the head and a pop-out thing from the chest.
Well, I just mean they have to head swap entirely, because some of the helmets are different.
Are they?
Yeah, or at least Red's is different from the others.
All the helmets are unique, but when they change lines, they change helmets, too.
No, they just change colors.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I never really paid that much attention.
See, that is how little attention everyone pays to that detail.
Except me, apparently. It's nothing to be proud of.
So, instead of Fig Awards, you get premium Darkliner Robo.
Somehow? That
sure.
Yeah.
And how much is that?
Only 13,000 yen.
Only?
That's what, like twice the cost of...
Well, that's going to be easy to find in a year for half the price on Mandarake.
That's the same cost as that Tokyo upgrade with the elbows and diecast bits.
So wait, a completely original design costs as much as the upgrade to a DX toy.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I'm just kind of impressed to me that Darkliner actually worked as a physical toy, because I just kind of assumed it was just sort of magic cheaty bits that let it fold in half and transform.
Might be still, but...
And it can double
it's
as either...
It's a $150 toy. They can do whatever they want.
It can't be that hard to make something like that just, you know, fold up into a robot shape.
Mind you, it took them 30 years to do that for, like, Get a Robo, but that was special. That was literally just morphing.
No, but I'm thinking of, like, you know, dinosaurs. They had the Chinese-style dragon that just folded up on itself to turn into a robot with no posability. It's perfect for Megazord.
Yeah, somehow
I love that toy, though.
I don't know what it is about just hearing that name pops that stupid theme into my head no matter what.
I think that happens for everybody.
The dinosaurs, that chrome Chinese dragon was amazing. I mean, it's not the best robot, but just the fact that it unfolds like it does is really impressive to me.
Has anyone on YouTube synced up the Dinozords theme song to Age of Extinction yet?
I think
that needs to happen.
That should
happen. Well, after Age of Extinction comes out in home video, so there's actually footage to work with.
Oh, like that ever stopped anyone.
Mm. Oh, yeah, someone actually watch Age of Extinction, though, and care
it's
enough
okay.
to do
it's,
video.
No, it's okay, though, because the part with the Dinobots is only, like, 15 minutes long. You can just skip to that and, you know... ignore the whole rest of the movie.
15 minutes long, maybe 5 minutes actually containing them.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm still surprised that I didn't hate Age of Extinction.
You should watch it again and see how your opinion changes.
I'm surprised I haven't seen Age of Extinction.
Mike!
Oh, I envy you so much.
I still haven't seen any of the live-action movies except for the first one.
Really?
Oh. No.
How have you done that?
Compared to the second and the third one, apparently Fort Max does not watch any TV ever because they replay them all the freaking time.
It makes perfect sense, though. Fort Max has never seen them because Paladin took all of the viewings that Fort Max would have had otherwise. And then some.
Is this a queue system?
Apparently it is.
All he just needs is a highlight reel of the second and third one, which will basically be up to 10 minutes max.
The highlight reel of Revenge of the Fallen is give me your face and Optimus dumping Jetfire's corpse.
Yes, that's all you really need.
And probably tie a shirt.
That's not for you, shrug.
This is starting to smell.
No, here is why Age of Extinction is worse than Revenge of the Fallen.
How?
Revenge of the Fallen excels at being terrible. It's the best there is at being shit. Age of Extinction
they didn't have a script.
Is just bland and flat and mediocre. It reaches no incredible valleys of terribleness. It is a flat line across the entire movie. I felt zero emotional anything throughout 3 hours.
Just like one of your Mark Wahlberg movies.
I still kind of, I don't know why did. I went in expecting, like, this is going to be god-awful. And yet, I was still kind of like, why am I kind of not, you know, why am I kind of enjoying this? Oh, God, I hate myself.
But that's good. It's good that you realize that your thoughts were wrong and shameful.
And yet, I still kind of had a good time. I don't know why.
Now, what I recommend, actually, is taking a razor and cutting your chest a little bit when you have these thoughts. That will let the poison seep out.
Ken, why are you disappointing us?
Intro quote?
Yes! Yes! Thank you. That's perfect. I need one of those.
But still, you're disappointing us, Ken. Please refrain from speaking for at least 5 minutes.
Oh, that ain't gonna happen at all.
If you don't record a podcast in a couple of months, and all of a sudden Ken gets these ideas in his head that we haven't been there to stop.
Yeah,
he's
really
forming opinions on his own, and we can't let that happen.
That's why you need to do the show week to week, so that we could stop Ken from making stupid suggestions.
Yes, still, we're like medication.
That still won't help. It won't happen.
There were other movies this summer more terrible than Age of Extinction.
There were.
Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles.
Actually, I was thinking of The Giver.
Huh?
Aww.
What?
Did anyone see that preview? Good God.
I did not know.
My dad said it was Logan's Run for teenagers. I recommend just watch Logan's Run and the original. Like, here's the thing. I haven't seen the original Giver film yet, and I still haven't finished the book yet. So I'm like, but watching that trailer, I already knew that, oh. And then my dad said, hey, it's Logan's Run. Are they remaking it? No, Dad, it's really remaking The Giver. This is Logan's Run.
Maybe that was worse. Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Definitely.
That movie is.
It's been a bad year for movies.
Well, there's Guardians of the Galaxy, at least.
There's Guardians and Captain America and about it.
Maybe Marvel should. Maybe
Marvel
Studios.
November we can get Big Hero 6.
Maybe Marvel Studios needs to do a Transformers movie.
Based off the Marvel G1 comics.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Get Budiansky back to write the script.
Fucking heck.
Star Wars of Doom.
Cover that.
The feature length movie.
No, Ken, that was the correct response, but
I met Budiansky back in like TFCon, and like he had the greatest like crotchety old man vibe to him that I'm like, I respect him so much now just because he's so bitter at this point.
Britter.
Britter.
Might be right the first time. He's Britter.
He's so Britta. Look at him filter that water. What, Mickey?
No, I met him back at Dragon Con back in like late 80s, early 90s.
Wow.
I got his autograph stashed away somewhere. I forgot about that.
You are so old.
I know.
And I'm so young.
I turned 30.
Stop it.
Yay.
Stop being young. Get older.
No.
Age!
Of extinction.
No!
Good, we're training you correctly.
I don't have to defend myself.
By the end of this podcast, you are going to hate Age of Extinction.
We're going to wing us you on this.
We're not doing that. We have good things to discuss, or at least, you know, well, everybody's going to consider at least one good thing, and I'm the only one that enjoyed the other one.
Well, in that case, I guess we should get on with the shows.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so Paladin, why don't you do Tokyuger for us?
Oh, God.
What? You're giving Paladin the episode where Tokyu 6 gets naked in a bathhouse?
Oh, that's a good point.
Why have I not seen Tokyuger again?
Well, this is the first time this happened, so...
I'll just watch this episode and then I'll go back to stop watching Tokyuger, unless you're going to keep going.
Okay,
don't be embarrassed. Let it all hang out.
Mickey, okay, indulge yourself.
Go on.
Who's doing what now?
Mickey.
Oh, am I doing it now?
Yeah, Paladin, you're doing Mickey.
Ooh.
Is that kind of
show now? Okay, give me a couple of minutes to limber up.
Let me drink some more.
Good old-fashioned homoeroticism, only in superhero time.
Well, wow,
this
like
is a Toku podcast.
Yeah, that's the point.
Okay, so Tokyu 26. The episode opens up with the Tokyugers kicking ass at Rei's shrine from Sailor Moon.
Oh, I gotta make a note here though. When they're done with the fight and Wright gets called, he just sticks his sword between his legs and holds it there.
Like a kid.
Yeah.
Well, you need both hands to answer the phone.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, you don't, but okay.
So they get called back to the train because owner says, there's something weird here.
And it's not good this time.
Are we at a shadow station? No. There's just something strange. Go out and explore. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, Tickets is like, yeah, you're going to have to go out there and look around for it later.
Meanwhile, in the background, Tokyu 6 acts
another theme.
Wildly inappropriately for whatever is going on in any given context.
He's in an entirely different scene and an entirely different
show. Fist pumping and grabbing onto the handle and looking out the window. I seriously think he is on drugs.
Or is he on drugs, or is he just the series is Jay?
Can it be both?
Oh my god, he is Jay.
He is. He's like Jay, but with a serious bent to his story. He's like, you know, all of Jin's fatalism into Jay.
This is what happens to Jay when he finally meets the Blue Fairy.
No. When he meets a Blue Fairy, all that happens is he confirms what he knew all along. He was perfect. Nothing changes.
Then it wasn't by choice. He must have pissed off the Blue Fairy, and she decided, "All right, fine. I'm gonna turn you into a human. Enjoy your life enjoy your mortal life, jerk."
I thought the Blue Fairy just froze you in ice for 1,000 years until aliens showed up.
Oh, don't remind me of that movie.
That movie's awesome.
What
movie? AI.
Okay.
Back at super shadowy dark villain lair,
there's a lot less
Zed
populated
is,
now.
Zed is busy being awesome and pimp-like.
And
the monster of the week is got a giant coin shoved through his head.
Symbolism.
It's not my favorite monster design. I kind of dig he's got dollar signs on his back, but yeah, it's a little tame compared to other things we've gotten.
Like it's money. No money dopant.
No money dopant.
Yeah.
Now, is there a way to insert the coin?
Where?
Anally.
Oh, so a suppository.
Yes.
Good news.
That's not good news at all.
So, as the Tokyugers are exploring the ancient city of... I don't know, Townsville, whatever. the production company has graciously taken them to a new location, never before filmed by Sentai series. And there's actually some interesting looking buildings here that doesn't look like stereotypical Japan. It's not the Edo period, and it's not modern. It's something in between.
It's rural Japan.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, actually, to see something that's not normally shown.
They finally
Speaking
have
of
the
which...
budget to bid for gas. Good job, Toei.
Next year, it's all pipe yards.
The base is actually in the pipe yard.
Pipe yard Sentai Plunger.
The base is in one of the pipes.
Where's the power chamber?
Down the drain.
In the item box.
If this new Sentai does not wear overalls, I'll be disappointed.
The villain's face is in the dump truck graveyard.
That would be a good suit design, actually.
Maybe.
It anyway, will.
Akira has the best expression here when he's just walking.
Yes, the expression of, forward. I'm going to get something wonderful. Magical.
Yeah, that's not out of context at all.
Yeah, so...
Great context, for that matter.
Kagura catches up to Akira sneaking off to the bathhouse.
Because the Build Express doesn't have a bath or a shower or anything like that.
Well, no, it has a shower.
No. The Rainbow Line has a shower. The Build Express doesn't.
Well, he implies that he just really likes baths instead over showers.
I get the impression he doesn't bathe much.
Maybe he doesn't like to shower because
he likes to see men's dicks.
Maybe he doesn't like showers because he used to always get rained on wherever he went. Maybe it brings back bad memories.
Yeah, I can see them writing that in at some point.
So, before Akira and Kagura can make it into the bathhouse to get all naked and wet, they see the bathhouse's owner walk out in a confrontation with Junichi from Gaim.
he's not nearly scrawny enough.
But he's just as well dressed.
Sure, let's go with that.
Okay.
I love how this episode is teaching...
My problem with that with this guy is that he doesn't have the huge eyebrows of Money DuPont.
I love how this episode is teaching little girls, like, in order for your guy to notice you, just sneak into the bathhouse. And yell out, surprise!
That's pretty much any show with a bathhouse that appears at any point.
Yeah.
Aww.
As a cultural phenomenon, I do not understand the bathhouse. Like, it's supposed to be non-sexual, but it's always something sexual going on in it whenever they reference it in a show.
Even in this episode?
Yes.
Which we'll get to. But, yeah, it's a very Japanese thing, though. Very, very.
Sentai, the most kiddiest of porn ever.
Phrasing?
I'm sorry.
Moving on!
Okay, so the deal going on here is that crusty old dude that runs a house full of naked people owes a lot of money to Sir Pimps-a-Lot there. And Sir Pimps-a-Lot is going to close down the bathhouse and bulldoze it. Now, why does he owe all this money to this dude? Well, because he got conned. Super Fabulous told him, I've got a bunch of great ideas to increase your business. Like... bringing in pro wrestlers to beat people up.
Somebody's probably into that.
Building a supermarket in the middle of it so they can buy lettuce while they bathe.
That can't be hygienic.
Ew.
And I guess the bathhouse owner is just...
stupid?
Just stupid. Really dumb. Because he agreed to all of this. I mean, he implies he was tricked, but, you know...
And he didn't fire the guy after the first time.
You don't just build a supermarket, like, in the blink of an eye. You don't, like, walk outside and come back inside, and there it was. This took weeks.
Months.
Maybe it was a supermarket, like, you know, the little dinosaurs that you put in water and it expands overnight. Because, there is a lot of water in the bathhouse,
yeah, that's
so...
that's true.
That would actually make some sense.
So, about this time, the rest of the Tokijers show up, and, the bathhouse owner says, well, y'all go on in. I'm about to close tomorrow, but at least y'all can enjoy it before. Cut to the shortest towels I have ever seen in my life. I don't know how they wrap these washcloths around their waist, but it helps they're Japanese and their waist are like 60 inches wide.
Yeah, probably. But Akira's having none of that.
Yeah, Akira rightfully points out that I want to see all your dicks. Takati is visibly embarrassed and tends to cover himself up whenever possible. So
I don't blame him, really. If there's a mad, madman telling you to like to show him all of your dicks.
I think that's how we came back on the air.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. One of the things in these scenes, though, that I really like as a nice touch is that Takati's glasses are always fogged up.
Yeah.
Which means it actually is really warm and steamy in there. They're not just faking it.
Mm-hmm. It is an actual bathhouse where they're filming.
And he's actually got actual glasses.
Mm-hmm. Or at least.
They're not lensless or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is the same bathhouse that they use whenever they have a bathhouse.
So speaking of what they usually turn these kinds of things into, it's a bad sign when the first thing you hear out of the girls is, it's so big.
Yes. While all the men are getting hot, wet, and sweaty, everybody freezes when they hear girls on the other side of the wall. And then it turns into Porky's.
Well, not quite. There's, you
well,
know,
the implication there's a... is that they're one step away from drilling a hole in that wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you...
What with?
Oh, they have equipment.
Well, with the drill Resha, obviously.
Obviously.
So,
completely not a euphemism for anything at all.
Yeah, Akira comes fully equipped.
So after the bathing...
That's not what
Akira
the towel says.
After the bathing, Akira tells them it's tradition that they drink a giant coffee milk all in one chug, which I don't know if this is Akira being insane or if this is actually a Japanese tradition.
But Takati's having none of it because he nearly dies.
Because Takati.
Whereas Wright does not hesitate and just inhales that shit.
Of course, because Wright.
And Hikari does not care about what's going on because he's too cool to care. So, they're bathing done. They put the clothes back on. They go talk to the owner. He says, well, they're tearing this place down tomorrow because of the stupid contract. Akira's immediate response is, I'll solve this. I'll go kill him.
I like it.
And Kaga's like,
time they took the direct approach.
Practical and to the point. I mean,
you can't argue with results, right?
You can't go killing this guy just because he's an asshole. What we have to do is go make fools of ourselves.
Keep in mind, he tried to do this early. He tried to transform earlier just to kick his ass, so.
Yeah. It's a human being a dick. I better put on my suit.
And here's where you realize, oh, wait, yeah, he's a monster of the day. killing people is kind of what he does.
That'd be the old Zaram coming out.
Yes.
So as Tokujers clown their way down the street with drums and flyers and shit, they make a big scene and get a lot of attention of people who pretend like they care what's going on. And surprisingly, they have pretty good results. They get a huge turnout to the bathhouse. Unfortunately, it's because Akira had a great idea of saying that it was going to cost them 10 yen to get in. So they made about 30 cents.
Oh my god. At least they will buy them packs of gum, like a small box.
Probably not, really.
There had to be at least $3 worth of stuff.
That's enough to buy gum, right?
In Japan? I don't know.
Well, with the bathhouse's fate surely sealed, Kagura and Akira come up with a last-ditch plan. We'll just move the bathhouse to an empty lot by using the build Russia. Because that's how buildings work. So they put down 4 or 5 cables from the crane and they lift the entire city block up in the air.
Again, points for anytime you see inside the build Russia's cockpit, it's magnificent. It's even better like when like he's in a serious fight and not transformed, but you still have all these clothes hanging up and the fan going in.
So while the building is lifted up in the air, Takati's freaking out saying, you can't just put this down on someone else's property. And Kagura just looks dumbfounded like, oh, we can't. But with the building suspended in the air, they're confronted by a foul black stench, which I assume is every bit of semen that's ever seeped through the drains. cooling underneath the bathhouse and fermenting into the sludge flowing beneath the city. It's all the negative vibes. And it's flowing straight to the museum.
Apparently they don't have liquid plumber in Japan.
So, rather than fight Vigo, Captain Fabulous shows up here with the contract, and Akira's immediately ready to stab him through the face.
Section.
But, big surprise, Akira has realized he is actually a monster in disguise. And it's coined DuPont. Because, I don't know, there's no reason.
There never is.
There's like absolute zero explanation as to why this coin DuPont is going after this bathhouse at all.
Because probably the bathhouse was plugging up the source of the shadow and they need to bulldoze it to let it out and consume the...
But what does the coin have to do money with any of this? No, this is just all pointless and dumb.
This Tokyuger.
No. There's plenty of Tokyuger things that actually the villain's plot makes sense from a villain point of logic. This doesn't even make sense by their logic.
Yeah, it's a filler episode. By all means.
It's a filler episode that
plot is next
about writing about sexy bathhouse, not about the monsters. Because we're 20 minutes in the episode and the monster's just now showing up.
Yeah. And this is a 23-minute show. So.
Yes.
Now, when they had the actual fight, when Kagura switches lines with Wright, I do like in the background, while it's changing, he just kind of just looks up in size and just kind of squats down.
And he gets all disappointed because he doesn't get to be the hero. He just sort of like squats like, well, shit.
They've kind of gotten used to the team kill stealing by now, I guess.
It's like, damn it, it's a Kagura focus episode. Well, I'll just sit down. So Kagura and Akira do the saber straight thing and make the Bakurium energy activate. Since Akira's mech is currently busy holding an entire city block up in the air full of sexy bathhouse. He hops inside Grandpa and makes him big. He complains, though, that it's too hard to maneuver this mecha because there's not handles and strings everywhere.
Yeah, he didn't get a chance to refit it.
I imagine Akira's desktop would be just covered in icons everywhere because it's so much easier to use that way.
He never moved past Windows 3.1.
Yes.
Don? Reminder, Don used Windows 98 for over 10 years.
See,
Don, you're helping.
And then he upgraded to Windows 7.
Oh. No, I think he moved to ME.
Well, anyway. the Tokyuger's decide, what's a good way to finish off a coin monster? I don't know, we'll pose a riddle, and then we'll boil him alive.
Yes.
So basically, they scald him until he dies.
Well,
which is it's
less they and more Kagura.
Yes, it's pretty sharp by herself.
She's kind of intense when she needs to be.
That's a horrific death.
This is one reason I like Kagura. She acts so nice and cute and all that, and then she's scary as hell.
Yeah, she's the Tokyuger most likely to jam bamboo underneath your fingernails.
Yes!
Except it'll be big cartoon bamboo, just like done with like a giant sledgehammer or something. But hooray, the bathhouse is saved. Everyone can go get naked and see each other's junk whenever they want now.
Also, bathhouse owner's been up there in the bathhouse the whole time.
Yeah. And next week we get Lucky Draw armor.
Hooray.
Wright's pissed off for some reason. So, hey.
The hyper mode upgrade just looks terrible.
We've seen worse.
I'm okay with it looking terrible. I'm just kind of disappointed that it looks so... Like, they didn't even try.
The didn't mind the costumes also look terrible, but I've kind of gotten used to them, so.
Yeah.
Let's just put a train on it.
Sure, why not? Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, the only thing that what would save that super armor if they had a little gold smokestack on top of their helmet that put out smoke. That would have made the whole thing work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But like, I still enjoy Tokyo Drift, so. It's fine.
I enjoy it, but I'm never excited about it. When I watch it, I enjoy it. I'm satisfied with the 20 minutes I spent on it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not kicking the door down to watch. It's not Gaim, but...
I think this was, like, the first episode I watched in weeks.
Because there was actually a reason to.
Yeah.
I mean, and they had some... Just a few episodes before this, they had some really good series of episodes leading up to...
Yeah, the wedding episodes were really, really good.
Yeah, and then we're back in the filler. So, you know, it'll be a couple... And next week is probably plot. So, you know, maybe next week it'll be really good, too.
Yeah.
Anytime you get Bill and Focus is really good.
Yeah, I mean, literally what happened with Rita was the last thing I was expecting.
Yeah, when she just turns around and eats Zed and becomes super evil for a couple episodes, and oh shit, here's Zed back and he just ate Greta from inside out.
Chestburster.
That was like, that blew my mind. That was so awesome to see.
Yeah. So, you know, I still think it's going to turn. It's so far it's been a solid enough series. It's got some, you know, duller moments occasionally, but...
Tokyo Drift is a solid 7, 7.5 for me.
Yeah, which is not
it's bad. Good.
I still really think they're running out of steam.
Oh, God. Give me a mute, Paladin.
It's all right. I'll crash it soon enough.
Superhero time. Just watch the shows. It's faster.
You've got your sunrise, you caught a prize, you're mating your Johnson. Party nights, summer whites, your friends and your Johnson. Rooster tails, water trails, your kids and your Johnson. Saturday nights, distant lights, your girl and your Johnson.
You and your Johnson, a way of life for over 50 years.
Figure subscription
3.0.
Yet another classic seeker.
Two classic seekers in one. No.
Is there a list? I don't have a fucking clue what's going on.
Okay,
I'm so far removed from Transformer news.
Okay, so they're doing
G2 Starscream.
They're also doing a sort of a cone head based on a concept thrust that was never produced.
I think it was actually it was actually used, shown in a prototype. Well, in a prototype was shown in a catalog, and it was pretty much just, the new parts for thrust slapped on Thundercracker.
That's like shoving a shit up your dick's foot.
I have missed buzz. I have missed that buzzing.
It's oddly, like, reassuring and relaxing, isn't it? Okay, so they're doing Croc from IDW Megatron.
Okay, why?
Because Action Masters.
Exactly.
It's not
so
a bad...
Why that figure?
Because it's black. And
that's
Croc
racist.
And Croc is black, and... No, I mean, it kind of works, and I'm thinking I might pre-order one when Big Bad Toy Store puts up singles, because I'll have like a year to cancel it. You know, when I decide that, no, that's not worth $50. Okay, so they're doing Croc, they're doing Tarantulas from the Junkion mold.
What?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yes, Tarantulas from the Junkion mold.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, that Junkion totally has Tarantulas' silhouette. I mean, it's a perfect fit.
You know, Tarantulas did have one toy where he kind of had some wheels. If you squinted a little bit.
Well, he had a wheel and, like, a pizza cutter, which is sort of a wheel. So yeah. Let's see. We talked. There was G2 Starscream in the cell. The cell's the other jet. The interesting thing about the cell is they're using the Botcon thrust parts, the hover fans. When, you know, the story has always been the molds for the Botcon exclusive parts are destroyed shortly after they're used.
Or worn out after the use anyway.
Which, either way, is not the case, obviously, because they're using them here again.
You mean Funpup lied to us?
I know, isn't that astonishing?
That gas cleanup.
How dare you insinuate such a thing?
Maybe. I'm probably actually going to cut this whole segment out and put it in somewhere, so that'll get in one way or the other.
Lie to us, God.
I
can't exactly take the moral high ground. I have a pre-order in for Masterpiece Star Saber.
What's wrong with that?
It's fucking expensive, is what's wrong with that.
So?
It looks fine. I just...
It's huge. I mean, it's huge and it does a lot of stuff.
I don't get excited about Star Saber for some reason. Okay. I mean,
I'm not about to wait around for the odds of a U.S. release.
No, that wouldn't probably wouldn't. No, I don't think so. Ultra Magnus maybe, but not Star Saber. Okay, so anyway, that's like four out of the subscription set. So there's Car Zap.
What?
cancel Block Town colors.
Remember Windbreaker in G2?
Just the name.
So yes. Takara was going to take that mold for Japanese G2, color it different, and sell it with a little building block set.
Okay, yeah, the block count sets, I kind of know of them.
And it comes with the Creon GB Blackrock.
So, you know, Japanese Windbreaker was going to be called Zap, and for this they're calling it Car Zap.
Well, and Zap was Windbreaker's name in Europe, so...
Okay, I don't remember that offhand, but, okay, and then the last thing they're doing is Serpentor.
Yes. Yeah.
From, Generation Scourge.
So this is Funpub is actually trying to see how much shit they can shove in the Phantom's throat before someone says no.
I think so.
They basically become Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, I could kind of see that. And the mystery bonus figure that they're absolutely not going to reveal is a Generations Legends mold. So I'm guessing it's going to be Legends Shattered Glass Optimus Prime.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. And they would do that, too.
What is it from the Orion Pax mold or the new Combiner mold? Or
the Legend. The Legend figure.
Oh, the Legend. I'm so... Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
What could be worse than that?
Either that or another Seeker.
Yeah, I mean,
Shattered Glass Legends Prime figure. That's what we need. Shattered Glass Prime.
Mm-hmm. And another scale.
No, I meant like the Transformers Prime, the cartoon show. We need Shattered Glass of that now.
Oh, okay. Well, they could do it from the Cyberverse Commander of the Beast Hunter's body.
Yes, we need Shattered Glass of that now.
Although, they wouldn't do that because that would actually kind of fit, so they would do it off of the original. But they would do it off of the Ultra Magnus retool of the original Cyberverse Commander Prime, just to completely miss the point. Or
is Christina coming back? Or does
maybe?
She hate us now?
Power Rangers in the Lost Galaxy.
Magna Defender, Power Ranger,
not afraid of any danger.
Cool.
Magna Defender, Morpher, call help to fight evil forces.
Power Rangers in the Lost Galaxy
takes on a fierce and awesome form.
He likes to make a Torazor.
Power Rangers in the Lost Galaxy.
Power Rangers will unite. Bite.
The Magna Defender Collection. Batteries not included, each sold separately. From Bandai.
Super Hero Gamer!
It's murder time! I mean, dime time!
That was perfectly timed, Ken.
What's that?
That was perfectly timed, Ken. That's what the segment's opening with.
Excellent!
And just for that, you get to summarize the episode.
Okay, let's see here. 43, right?
See what being clever gets you.
I actually don't really have much of a complaint with that. So, when last we left our heroes, quote-unquote...
Wait, when last we left?
I think with Mitchie murdering his brother.
Yeah, something like that.
Mitchie murdered his brother, and, you know, Roshua got killed by Reduway, and then Kota killed the hell out of her, which is kind of awesome. But
And don't forget that Ryoma came back after mugging a 5-year-old for his clothes.
Yes! Of course, how could I forget? And all of Ryoma's, you know, backup contingency plans we get to see, and all this fun stuff that he's, you know, already designed, which is going to come into play in this episode. Then, speaking of which, he gave Mitchie a handy-dandy little hell lock seed that he literally pulled seemingly out of somebody else's drawer. But
what was his drawer?
Maybe they were in those shorts that he stole.
At first, he made it seem like they were just going somewhere, but then you realize, oh, wait, this is he knows.
Because they got to sell one more arms change premium.
Okay, so pertinent details of the background. Maya's kidnapped by Mitchie.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchie sends Mai to Otherworld.
Mm-hmm.
Roshuo puts the golden fruit in Mai, and then sends her back.
Just before Kaito and Koto arrive, which is the best thing. You're like, wait, what did we come here for? Only get their ass. That entire episode where they're just getting their asses kicked by Roshuo is, I think, it's one of the best episodes.
In terms of...
Well, just like for like straight up action episodes.
Okay, that I agree with that.
Yeah, because it was a really compelling fight, and it was long too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it stretched most of the episode in one form or another.
Yes. And then when Kota just finally snaps at the end, it was kind of great. Michizane has the hell fruit seed or something like that, right?
Which apparently almost made the subtitle translators want to go up and quit.
Really?
There's a bad joke in there, isn't there?
Apparently there is no way to properly Englishize Yomotsu Higuri arms.
Oh, good. It's one of those.
Thanks, Japan.
So, yeah. Anyway, for some reason, inexplicably gives him Overlord weapons, and he is in the process of currently fighting Kota, who is in Kiwami arms. So now we're actually in the actual episode. Intro. I have not watched this episode for a week.
Bear in mind the Hellfruit arms thing was like the climax of the previous episode, and you know that fight featured for all of like 15 seconds before the end of the episode.
Yes. So anyway, elsewhere, Mai is tripping balls because she has DJ Sakura in her head.
She is trapped in the first turn A opening.
Oh God! Yes. Turn A.
It frightens me that I understand.
Turn A, Gundam.
What, Mickey?
What?
Like a Dora the Explorer song.
It does.
But yeah, that DJ Sakura acid trip, man.
Oh man, that is great when suddenly it's like one of those trippy anime scenes where people are all over the place or something, except it's with real people. It's
he climbs out of a TV to start with.
Yes. Then he's just like, you know, floating.
And the sad thing is, I think the effect in the first episode of Zoo Ranger did that better in
probably
making it creepy as fuck.
This is, I don't think it's supposed to be creepy. This is supposed to be just weird as hell, which it is.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, okay, you got all this power. What are you going to do with it? You can do anything, technically, sort of, kind of.
I bet you'll just do something really whiny and ineffectual.
Either way, in this scene, Sakura reminds me, probably intentionally, an awful lot of Madoka's own devil analog. Which is, of course, its cute little mascot, quote unquote. Where he's basically, he's like, oh, you can do whatever you want, but he's kind of almost sort of talking her into it at the same time. making it seem like, oh, it's your decision, but, you know, if you screw it up, oh, well. Anyway, meanwhile, Mitchie actually manages to shoot Kota.
Not in the back.
Not in the back. Yeah, that too is impressive. So, okay, they prepare to, you know, have this big pass when Kota just lets Mitchie stab him.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
But he has a reason for that.
A stupid reason.
Well,
in the process of being stabbed, he's grabbed the hell fruit lock seed off of the belt and crushes
it
in
with
his
bare hand.
Yeah.
Who's an overlord now?
Well, we'll get to that part.
Well, not Kota, because an overlord would have done something, you know, useful.
Yeah, that's true. So apparently they were in a pillow factory as well.
Yeah, because
either that or Sig was off. Sig was just standing off to the side.
It just keeps raining feathers for like 15 minutes.
Yes, while Kota slowly, agonizingly, crawls over to Mitchie.
Those bags were all actually full of live ducks.
And he, you know, he's trying to tell him that, you know, it's always possible to turn back. You can't be forgiven. And he's like, Mitchie's on. He's like, no, dude. The audience knows this. I know this. Everybody
he's like, after all this, are you really going to forgive me? And Kota's all like, yep. And that's when you could hear the collective facepalm of the entire audience.
And the thing is, though, it's like...
It is still very Kota.
It is consistent for his character. I can't, I want to be mad at him, but I can't, and that makes me mad.
The thing is, if Kota were to change and give up on Mitchie, he wouldn't be Kota anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
It would kind of destroy his
character. Which is both good and bad.
Kota is a sap.
Yeah, and it's like the Kota that, you know, snapped like a twig against Redway is the same Kota. It's just the fact that
Redway is a monster.
Had long since lost whatever she might have been. Mitsuzana is still human and was still his friend. So even if he did, you know, murder his brother.
Yeah, if Kota was Man of Steel, he would have snapped Mitchie's neck. But he is not. Kota is actually more Superman than Man of Steel.
Yeah. It's a good analogy, actually.
Rocky Raccoon is more Superman than Man of Steel.
Yes. But that's another subject. You've seen that picture, I guess. This asshole saved more civilians in the climax of his movie than Superman did in his. Anyway, so
enough about Kota.
So Mitsuzane wanders off. He's like, well, if I can at least save Mai, then, you know, maybe I'm worth at least half a shit.
Also, I'd like to point out at this point, as he leaves Kota there dead in the pile of feathers, you can very clearly see Kota breathing still.
Well, yes.
There's a difference between mostly dead and all dead.
Anyway,
the implication is that Kota's not dead, he's dying.
Yeah.
I guess. The way the scene played to me, it made it like, you know, Mitchie thought he was dead already.
Yeah.
But he's obviously breathing, and it kind of ruins the effect of the moment.
Elsewhere, Minato is patching up Kaito at the Gaim Garage. Yes.
Garage.
Which is still standing, despite all odds.
Yes, when Pico and Chucky, I think it was, come in and is like, hey, guys, we got a small dilemma. Speaking of that dilemma, Mitsuzane wanders back into Ryoma.
The shittiest hospital in the world.
Yeah, it's where Ryoma's kicking back with a bottle, with a glass of wine. He's like, so have you ever seen Watchmen? Please tell me I'm not the only one who thought that.
No, honestly, my thoughts keep verging that this hospital would fit right into Silent Hill.
Yeah, that's true. But he's like, you know, oh yeah, I took the apple out while you were gone. Yeah, it was kind of attached to her heart.
It was like all up in there.
But it was successful.
Yeah.
Now, Ice Bitchy, cream. It's your own damn fault, you dumbass. Yeah. You left her alone with the scientist who cut out his own brain for purpose of science.
And the best line is, of course, when Mitchie sees my dad, he's like, you promised me you'd save her.
You said you'd save mine. He's like, I haven't the faintest idea.
I haven't the faintest idea why you believed me.
Ever so slightly, Ryoma's actor turns his head just so you can slightly see his face when he says that. Just past his hair, and the expression on his face is the best thing ever. It's like, I have the faintest idea why you believe me.
Ryoma's the best.
Oh, God.
And now we have our suffering.
Yes, there is plenty of suffering in this scene. But it is a really good... Because, like, this actor does not miss a freaking beat throughout the entire thing.
How did they misuse him so badly in Garo?
I don't know. He was so wasted.
I mean, he could have had the Takeru role and played it perfectly.
Yeah, it's like, I did not even hate his character, but he was so wasted now, you can see.
Yeah, yeah.
So meanwhile, here's another fact. It's never occurred to me before, but Ryoma has never been attacked by an energy rider and had to actually fight them off. The only time he ever fought one was when he, not even an energy rider. No, he's never actually fought an energy rider except for Takatora. And Takatora was more of a matter of, I think he wanted to make him suffer, mm-hmm. because he has a kill switch for energy drivers.
Whoops. You know, that makes a lot of sense, considering Ryoma.
It is the kind of backup plan I think he would have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what I would do if I was designing that stuff.
So when Mitsuzane tries to pull out melon, he just...
takes out its remote, kill switch.
Bye.
Also, it makes a lot of sense from a narrative standpoint because it allows you to reduce the amount of power that's out there in the world so you can mm-hmm. narrow the focus of the show down.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. the climax. But he's like, but he just gives Mitsuzane the best dressing down. And he's like, tried to explain, why Takatora tried to do the things he did. And it's actually, kind of makes a good point, which is a bad thing while he's choking the life out of them.
Well, and yeah, I mean, he's making the point that, like, that all the badass stuff Mitchie thought he was doing the entire time, manipulating Cid and thinking he's manipulating Ryoma and everybody, he was the one being used.
Yeah.
And he never realized because the world is a big, bad place and Takatora was trying to protect him from it all along.
Yeah, however, the apple then kind of explodes into Blonde Mai, who is actually Mai now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, there's that.
So they did cover that element.
Yeah, we're getting to that.
And brilliantly.
And we're getting to that here in a second. So she's like, of course, Mai is much like Kota, and Mai would not be Mai if she did not forgive him as well. But she wants to try and keep things from ending like this. So she's like, okay, if I have the power to do whatever I want, and let's go back in time. And Sakura's like,
travel through the tourney opening.
Yeah.
Yes. Sakura's like, it's not that simple, right? It says time is incredibly hard to alter. It'll be hard to even speak with the clarity you want. So basically, all of those times where Blonde Mai had appeared before Kota and Kaito and so on and so forth was actually Mai, but her message was clouded through the time space continuum, not wanting to be affected, basically. So how I took it.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's as good a way to rationalize it as anything.
Time will still keep on marching on. You can't actually change the past. You can just kind of muck it up a little bit.
If anything, she probably actually made it all happen in the first place.
It seems like that.
Yep. So, yeah, that does not quite work out how she wanted to. Meanwhile, Kaito and Yoko are making their way inside the hospital and find, dead body. Notice that they never, of course, obviously naked, but they don't show the chest, and you gotta imagine that's
where there's a hole there.
Yeah. Anyway,
although
guys,
I like there's a nice detail where Minato is holding her hand over Mai's mouth to make sure she's not breathing too.
Yeah, and she
or
is...
to make sure she's not breathing by, like, you know, choking the breath out of her.
To be fair, that sounds like something Minato would do.
Yoga's
just
being
the safe side.
No. I mean, she's holding her hand like an inch over Mai's face.
That's a good directorial, like.
It is. Stuff. It is. It really is. It's a nice detail that you wouldn't really notice if it wasn't there, but it
just
makes.
Just like from when Kaito and Yoko come into the room until like they see Ryoma writing on the window. That's all just one shot, and so there is, you know, there's some good directions done with all that, you know, with Michizane just kind of collapsing and so on and so forth. And I like how Kaito just walks around the corner when he's like, you, explain.
Kaito's the best.
He is, and he gets better. he's like, where did it go? And you know, Ryo was trying his best to...
math it.
Figure. He's like... The thing about Ryoma is that everything up till now, throughout the entire series, he has foreseen and had contingencies for. Even the stuff that seems unexpected, he's like, he still has some kind of a backup plan for it. But this is unexpected, and he's about to get another one of those. Regardless, both Yoko and Kaito prepare to transform, but, kill switch. That's okay, though, because guess what? Kaito has a spare.
Doesn't have a kill switch.
What, Mickey?
Yeah, that he wasn't afraid of the Sengoku drivers because they are technically weaker. Mm-hmm. And the only one who superseded that was Kota, thanks to Sagara. Because
apparently the Genesis core itself is not susceptible to a kill switch.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. The Genesis core, it was given to him by Sagara. So even if it was subjected. It could probably be overridden by, you know, the
court. I guess for that matter, Sakura could have just made that Genesis core too.
Yeah, that's a possibility. So anyway, they leave Michi in his own suffering while Kaito proceeds to get his ass kicked because, you know,
it's classics.
Baron.
Classics never die. Banana's back and he's gonna beat him. But yeah, so Duke beats the hell out of Baron until he forces him to untransform. And then he realizes what's growing out of Kaito's arm. And
Duke,
so he
you
just untransforms.
Sprouts in your arm. That's messed up.
So then he just untransforms because he's like, dude, you can't do anything. You can't beat me with that. You're about to die anyway, probably within the next few minutes. It's actually kind of amazing you're standing. And Kaito's like, you know what? You're right. I am about to die. I have nothing to lose.
You like experiments, don't you?
You like experiments? Let's try one of mine. Because I've been resisting this for, you know, several weeks up to probably, you know, almost a couple months now. And I... But I'd bet you I can resist this, too. So he bites the Helheim fruit and devours it. And becomes an overlord. Whoops.
Whoops. What do you think Helheim fruit tastes like?
Baby panda.
Oh. I'm betting it tastes like vinyl.
What?
But wetter.
Because that's what the prop is made out of.
Yeah, it tastes like wet plastic. But kind of sweet.
But yeah,
you know, in the Chicago suburb when I was
skinned.
There used to be a little factory in the Chicago suburbs that we would drive by sometimes. And I'm telling you, the smells that came out of there were just, like, really sweet and always made me want, like, candy or fruit or something. It's the weirdest thing. Apparently plastic is just delicious.
Yeah, apparently. So yeah, Baron, Overlord Baron looks really freaking awesome.
Yeah.
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 And he still has a bit on his chest.
Any odds on
Baron?
Any odds on a Fig Award form of him?
God, I hope so. But yes, Ryoma's like, oh, he retained his mind. And that is what makes him snap, because this is something that he could not have foreseen in the slightest bit. And Ryoma loses it, transforms, and gets his ass kicked.
Yeah, Kaito just like catches his punch to the face.
Uh-huh. And then he gets, you know, untransformed, almost tentacle raped. And then, you know, Kaito just punches him into a wall, Looney Tunes style.
Yeah, he gets Looney Tunes into a wall.
Mm-hmm.
That's some Wile E. Coyote shit right there.
And yet, because it was done to his human form, it looks like the most brutal possible thing.
Mm-hmm. And yet somehow he's still alive.
So he uses his last breath to you know, like, you're gonna die anyway. It doesn't matter. And just falls off the building. So in this episode, we have had a girl murdered on an operating table and a guy took a skydiving lesson, not ready to start off a building. Kid show
and the
for
main
kid.
Hero stabbed in the chest.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that too. Main hero stabbed in the chest. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mitchie is currently having curled up and having a mental breakdown.
Right.
Yes. This is a show that airs between Super Sentai, Tokyuger, and Pretty Cure. This is like the biggest mood swing in a half hour on television.
It's gonna raise a generation of Japanese children to be bipolar.
I do like though that
yeah, most of the kids are watching Pokemon at the time.
I do like that Yoko does not miss a beat and takes the opportunity to just steal Ryoma's driver and while he's laying on the ground.
Not.
Like, oh, okay, I'm still in the show. Thank you.
Yeah, I kind of love
for a little while anyway.
I love that the only reason that Ryoma survives is punched through the wall. It's just they don't have Kaito kill another human being on screen. Ryoma has to accidentally kill himself by falling off something.
Yeah, because Kaito is still quote unquote a hero.
And they can't just have being
that term
murdered on screen.
Yeah, he's also
they
been marked.
They can't do that. That's too far even for them.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah. Gaim!
Damn. Oh, and you know, Kaito reverts to his human form because he can do that too.
Because he's fucking... Dang it!
He's strength.
Yeah, sorry, he's strength.
He's strength.
Yo, the show started about street dancing.
Street dancing Pokemon. With Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
Street
dancing Pokemon, that's right. Uh-huh.
Now that America's been nuked, and we've killed off two heroes and turned one hero into a villain in one episode.
Uh-huh. Let's see here. Yeah. Oh, don't forget that the main hero murdered his best friend in the first episode.
Admittedly, unknowingly.
Well, yes, but he still... And murdered is a bad word for it. He still killed him.
Yeah.
I think Gaim is going to go down as probably one of the best Kamen Rider series ever written.
Of course, yeah. The big question still is, how can they end this?
With more death.
More suffering.
Magic
more
reset
suffering.
Button.
Uro Butcher strikes. They thought he'd be safe on the Sunday.
Let's see. In this episode, we got the alcohol and the suffering.
Yes, we did. Dang it, we did. I forgot the alcohol.
You talked about the alcohol.
How is that bingo card doing at this point?
I think it's a Monopoly board now, actually.
They thought he'd be safe on Sunday mornings. He won't go too far off the rail here. Oh wait, we're making all the money.
I think the only all we have. Let's see, we got the Faustian bargain too.
Yeah, we did. Because
we've gotten a dozen of those.
Because Doc was just Cuba.
Yeah, the only thing we haven't had yet, I think.
I thought Sid was. Cuba.
I don't think we haven't had lesbians or rape yet.
Although, I mean, the rape could be implied from when Mitchie took Mai.
Also, all the tentacles.
And, you know, if they were to do a Gaim novelization, you totally know that's where that's going to go. Because, I mean, they already tried to do that in the Fize novel, infamously.
Have we had a backstory episode?
Yes, we did. Kato and Mines. Backstories.
That's right. Yeah, we did. Okay.
Yeah.
And we have absolutely had utilitarianism.
I mean, to be honest, I still enjoy Gaim a whole lot. I'm just starting to get in the camp with the people who are like, this is too much story. Like, you know, too much of the time. It's normal to get deep into it at the end of the series, which is fine, but we've been doing this for 95% of it, and looking back, it probably needs some more light.
I disagree.
So, is anyone else thinking of reset button ending for this?
Yeah, I mean...
I hope not, but it's possible.
No, but I mean, look at
that is
where...
like the one way they could screw up Gaim now, if they reukify the ending.
But look at where they're at with this right now.
Urobuchi does love Ryuki.
The thing is, though, with Gaim, a reset ending could work because we actually have gone through a lot already.
That's true. I mean, there's been plenty of
consequences.
There are ways to make it work without erasing everything.
Okay, but I mean, look at where we're at.
Actually, now that I think about it, Madoka had a reset ending too, and it has consequences.
It had a bunch of resets.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The actual ending of the TV series is a straight-up hard reset. And it's...
The only way to end this...
doesn't go well for Madoka herself.
The only way to end the series without it having a reset is to just establish that this is not part of the same universe that has existed since Decade. You know, this is just its own thing, kind of like RPM was to the rest of Power Rangers.
Whereas the... And then there's a separate movie continuity over here.
But there's always a separate movie continuity.
Sometimes, unless you're Double.
Yeah, but Double was special and amazing.
The thing is with Gaim is that the apocalypse has already happened. The rest of the world is, I assume...
SOL?
Dead by now.
Hey, guess what? Project Genesis worked.
Sort of. Well,
be so proud.
Half of Project Genesis worked. The kill everyone part worked. As for the saving some of them, we're still working on that.
Well, see, but, you know, Ryoma should be happy. It came far, far, far ahead of schedule.
Oh,
far,
yeah.
Far ahead by, like, 9 years.
No, but, I mean, that's kind of the point. If they don't do something to reset what's happened, you know, America is on record as having been... mostly nuked.
Yes.
There's invest all over the world and, you know,
fairness,
plant overgrowth.
In fairness, it's not like a writer series is ever going to go to America.
No, but, you know, there would still theoretically need to have that, have, like, you know, an echo of that somewhere down the line.
One thing I like, though, is that occasionally they'll mention, like, we need to get out of the city and whatnot. I'm thinking, do y'all really think there's anything left out there? I'm just like, I think y'all are going to be very disappointed.
Yeah, probably.
I think that's a strong possibility.
Double ended with one death, Philip. And they couldn't leave him dead.
Right.
Right.
This has ended with the world dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
How did they leave that alive?
A reset of some kind is what's going to happen.
Yeah, it is still a kid's show.
Wait, didn't most of the Sonozaki family die?
Well, yes, but they
but
were
not the ending. Guys.
They were bad guys.
They were monsters.
Completely.
Takatora, in spite of being an antagonist, was still played in marketing and everything in movies as a hero from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Even though he was fighting Kota for half the series, mm-hmm. He was still played up as a hero the entire time.
The question is, with the reset, what is going to be the cost?
Kota.
Kaito.
I don't think Kota will be the cost. Kaito is likely. Michi is also likely.
I
see Kota and Mai surviving this and living happily ever after so they continue on into movies.
Michi gives his life so that that can happen. I could see that.
Yep. Michi giving his life to save Mai is probably the most obvious thing that could happen.
Because unlike Takatora, Michi has not been played as a hero the entire time. Maybe in the first 12 episodes, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. And this is the only way that Michi could see to redeem himself, even though it really wouldn't redeem him to the rest of us.
It is incidentally probably.
That's even if he thinks that far.
And actually,
but
actually,
that's how his logic would play out internally.
Mitchie not being played as a hero for most of the series is reflective in the fact that he never got any upgrades. He got Kiwi arms and used it once. And then he stole Takatora's after he supposedly got killed the first time. Mm-hmm. But he never got his own upgrades, which means that they were not marketing him as a hero to the toys and whatnot.
And that may have been the plan with Baron originally, too, since his lemon was...
Which is why...
Yeah, that was kind of just an afterthought partway through.
Right.
But now we're probably back to the original plan of Baron being the final antagonist. Well, not final, but...
Saga is going to be
the final. So we do have Jam on the horizon.
Yeah, probably for the, like, one episode that exists. That'll probably just be a last episode thing.
And
I wish Giga Beetle's idea would be true.
What's that?
It's Sid.
No. Jam needs to be DJ Sagara.
Yeah.
What happens if you boil fruit down? You get Jam. He is the essence of the forest. He is the essence of fruit. And I said at the beginning of the series that I wanted him to be the final villain. Mm-hmm. And now there's a chance that could happen, and that delights me.
It would be pretty great.
There's a theory right now, by the way, that the 47th episode of Gaim, the last one, will actually be a crossover with Drive.
Oh, that they might do a thing like they did with Wizard and
Decade.
Yeah.
And Gaim.
No, Gaim wasn't there much.
He was still there. He debuted.
An idea.
It was really
Jam's
a crossover. It was
Apple
really
well,
a decade. It was 3 years later. Decade. It was really just two more episodes a decade. Several years later.
It was. Just guest starring Wizard.
Just in the world of Wizard.
It wasn't even in the world of Wizard, I don't think.
No, not the, you know, not Wizard the series, but, you know, the world, Wizard no Sekai. You know, the Wizard writer world.
I get what you mean.
Decade Wizard.
Yeah. I want to see Decade O's.
In Decade's universe, Wizard was actually an entertaining series.
Maybe. Wizard was entertaining for the first two episodes, too. Just like Star Trek Voyager was entertaining for its first, well, like 20 minutes. But
let's hope Drive turns out
DS9.
Better.
Yeah. Well, DS9 was the reverse.
DS9 was a slow start.
By slow start, he means the first season was god awful.
It has its moments.
Yeah, here and there.
Like
but...
the ending of the first season, that's pretty good.
The ending of it's pretty good, but it takes a while to get there. Luckily, it's a short season, but regardless.
It's only short by, like, two episodes.
But mainly the first season is just there to set up concepts for the real series.
Yeah.
It's
also for Cisco to Punch Q.
Prelude.
Also for Cisco to Punch Q.
Yeah.
Because that was important, apparently. Just to establish that I'm not Picard.
Just like the episode where Janeway slept with Q. Or I assume that happened. It was implied or something. I don't care. It was Voyager.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it comes down to. It was Voyager. I like to think that Voyager was actually the result of First Contact messing up the timeline. That's why nothing in Voyager makes sense in context to any of the series that came before.
Or even in context to itself.
Well, yeah, because First Contact happened partway through Voyager's run, so the updates happened in real time.
The time ripples went in both directions, though, so, you know.
That would explain their unlimited supply of shuttles. And photon torpedoes.
And, well, replacement parts for the ship, for that matter. Yeah. No, it doesn't matter how damaged
the
ship
makes
gets.
It back, like, it looking exactly the same.
Yeah. They really squandered so many opportunities with Voyager. For one thing, they kept all the uniforms. That never would have happened for real. The uniforms would have been gone within a year. Also, it would have, you know, taken 100 years to get back, but, you know, details.
Oh, good.
Well,
Gaim 44 is up.
Man, it certainly would.
Only four episodes left.
Spring over this indigenous life form, we're not taking it.
Ooh, excuse me.
There's no excuse.
Why are we excusing Ken?
I think because Gaim 44 is up.
That's not important.
There's crime somewhere and he has to go fight it.
Oh. That Ken?
Gaim 44's been up.
Yeah, actually, wasn't that up since last night?
Yeah.
But was it actually working?
Apparently, Ken is just
slow. A couple people
slow.
Had problems earlier.
Well, isn't Nya Torrent still being attacked?
It went down again, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why, or is it just someone randomly being a dick?
Probably 4chan. It's always 4chan. I don't know that it's 4chan, but I mean, who else would do it? Four chan's gonna come after us now, aren't they?
Them on the
and I mean, if I have to cut parts out anyway, I might as well just go for the hat trick.
Get your money's worth.
So, what are we doing next week?
I have no idea. I didn't really think
the
that far ahead.
Same thing we do every week.
Well, we do have that power playback from
a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
Aw, why not?
Because I'm not watching it again. I'm not watching it three times in 1 year. That's retarded.
Well, do you have a suggestion?
No. Other than maybe some Go-Onger, because I'm still watching it.
We never did the musical episode of Go-Onger. And I've always wanted to.
I'm already past that one.
Well, I thought you finished Go-Onger. Oh, no, you're almost finished with Go-Onger. You got like.
You were at 43.
Yeah, but I want to do the episode. I want to do the G3 Princess episode. Because it's awesome and hilarious. Like most of Go-Onger, admittedly.
You know what I'm noticing about Go-Onger watching again? They do a lot of in-suit helmet off shots.
Yeah.
You don't see in Sentai.
Yeah, they did that a ton. You didn't really
and
catch
really
that until now?
It really ties them together.
It was Power Rangers level of helmet off.
You didn't catch that until now, Mickey?
Well, that was the first Sentai I watched, so I didn't really have any frame of reference for it.
I see.
And now going back, I'm thinking, I haven't seen any other Sentai do this.
No, it's not really very common. GoBusters did a little bit, but not near as much. And that was mostly by virtue of the transformations.
Yeah. Yeah, but Go-Onger has the whole trick where they hold the helmet in front of their heads and they act like they're taking it off.
Yeah.
That works surprisingly well.
Which also was done in Power Rangers. Or, no, they did the reverse in Power Rangers. They held the helmets up and then did a quick pan down to where they were already wearing helmets, so it looked like they slammed them onto their heads really quickly. Because that totally works that way.
Of course, you also sometimes would see them unbuckle the big buckles on the sides
on the stunt
open
helmets.
Them up and to take them off.
Yeah. And actually, sometimes you would actually see them put them on. Like, I think at least once they actually put them on that way, too.
Yeah.
Season 2 was an interesting time. Of
but
like
interesting
half,
and terrible, right?
It was an interesting time of like half not giving a shit and half trying to do more than they did in season one.
And half doing incredibly wacky stuff.
Yeah, well, the wacky stuff kind of spreads between the not giving a shit and the trying to do more.
Best man for the job, Ayn. That
don't
not
vote
giving
for dummy.
A shit doesn't explain that.
No, well, actually, it kind of does, because it's like, well, we're almost done with the season. Let's just throw out whatever we've got in the pile that we haven't filmed yet.
And that explains the mayonnaise.
That was season,
one. That was Foul Play in the Sky. Or something. I don't know.
That was the episode that we haven't...
Yes, A Star is Born.
A Star is Born.
Yes.
That was our Power Playback episode.
Right. I was remembering the wrong name.
So was I, apparently.
Yeah.
That was a weird episode.
Yeah, it was. But the Power Playback thing.
G3 Princess, you just said that.
Okay.
Well, let's do something American.
But what? you said go on, you're in the first place.
I did, but I've changed my mind.
You're just mad because we didn't pick the episode you wanted. Well, not mad, but you're being a pain because we didn't pick the episode you wanted. Well, fine.
Look, I'm fucking this chicken.
Yeah, fine. What do you want to do, American?
I don't know.
Okay, fine. If you say we're doing American, then we're doing A Star Is Born.
Let's do G3 Princess then.
Okay.
Wow.
Want to be that way about it.
Well then.
Yeah. It's sort of a shame we lost Christina during the break, but we'll try to have her back on another time when she's not having things happening and her house exploding around her.
When she's not tired of listening to us.
Yeah.
We gotta get back in the routine somehow.
I think she was just being polite for most of the time she was here. Maybe if we had led with Gaim instead of Tokuger, she would have stayed around longer.
Maybe if we were a different podcast, she would have stuck around longer.
Maybe.
We might get better at it again.
Still, she did really well pulling in the Gigabeetle factor against Ken. And I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
That was pretty great. So anything else for this week?
Nothing coming to mind right now.
Well, that sums up... What?
Has anybody cited the Super Mega Force Ninja Storm Zord yet?
Not to my knowledge. I think it was online somewhere.
Okay.
Kmart, maybe.
I'll pay $30 for it, though.
Is that thing $30?
At Kmart.
Kmart's prices, probably.
Point. I don't know if they overcharge everything like that, or if it's just the Transformers. Which is kind of a shame, since apparently Leader Jetfire is turning up at Kmart now.
Yeah, I'm curious, because no one's mentioned a price on what he's selling for there yet.
What I heard was $45, which I find hard to believe, because that's actually like the normal retail.
That's like a dollar more than normal.
You know, it probably is more like 65 or something.
I don't know what to make that Jetfire figure.
Do what?
I don't know what to make of that Jetfire figure. I mean, there's nothing...
Make it a big hooligan.
There's something terrible about it, but I don't find myself getting excited about it. I'm like, I'll probably get it, I guess, but...
I like the Classics one better. The Voyager.
The Classics one is really hard to keep standing. In my experience,
I don't really have a problem with it.
Well, I mean, it's his pointy toes. He sort of rattles around on my shelf a lot.
And it's that heavy backpack.
I don't really have a problem standing up that Jetfire.
Well, okay, it's not standing. It's keeping him facing one direction. He tends to... My floor carries vibration since it's, you know, hardwood. It's not carpeted.
Oh, okay.
And it sort of makes them sort of spin around in circles as, you know, throughout the
okay,
months.
No, that makes sense because of the little points, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
It's a little irritating to always walk by and keep adjusting him and keep him from rattling.
Take one of your Tamashii stages and just, you know, brace him on one side.
But I need those to keep V3 pose and looking beautiful.
Is he still wearing the dress?
Of course he is.
Excellent.
Wow,
that was the best thing we ever did.
Yeah,
well,
it was.
Well, that and Ryuki looking at his own ass in Optimus Prime's hood.
Yeah.
If anyone would be doing that, it should be the new Hibiki.
Well, that wasn't out at the time.
That's no excuse.
Hibiki can't travel through mirrored surfaces.
Yeah, the whole joke was that Ryuki was traveling through the mirrored chrome on White Knight Optimus.
If you had favorited and retweeted that picture, you would have remembered that.
Maybe Hibiki should have the power to travel through mirrors. I mean, why not? Not like it makes any more sense for Ryuki to do it.
Hibiki already has the power of rock. What more does he need?
And the power of ass, apparently. I mean, that's a mighty ass they put on that figure art.
We've noticed that that butt was stacked.
You're totally going to buy a Hibiki, aren't you?
You know, I do really want it because it's a pretty figure. And I like Hibiki's design.
Yeah, you know, it's that new renewal body, too.
Money,
it's that new renewal body, problem, too.
Yeah. The problem I have, aside from not having any money, is that Hibiki is a lot smaller than the other SIC Hibiki figures I have.
Because it's not an SIC.
Zanki. So, you know, it kind of makes for an awkward display.
It's Kid Hibiki.
So it's Decade Hibiki.
Yeah.
Chibiki?
Yes. Yes, it is. And on that note, that'll be our show for this week.
Chibiki is what we leave on. Okay.
Sure is.
Of course.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Did you ever drink the oil like Gigabeetle told you to do?
Intro?
Could be.
I guess I could drink mineral
You've
oil.
You've had all this time.
I guess I could drink mineral oil if I want the shit. It's not that I have a problem with that on a regular basis.
If you drink a whole bunch of oil, though, and you had the shits, you can hold a match to it and have like a napalm thrower.
That's useful self-defense, I guess.
Well, wasn't the whole point of this originally to determine if we could make urine flammable enough to make a flamethrower?
I thought there was a nugget of that idea somewhere in there.
I thought the goal was to kill Ken.
If you have nuggets in your urine...
I mean, I didn't love that idea either.
If you have nuggets in your urine, you need to see your doctor.
Yeah. That sounds very painful.
Yeah. I don't think they call those nuggets...
You're in need of medical attention.
I don't think they call those nuggets. Those are kidney stones.
Unless you go to Wendy's, then they could be either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bet I can guess which one has more chicken.
Superhero Time! 次回もよろしく!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.